It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Today, we continue our Supply Chain City series, which focuses on Metro Atlanta-based organizations and leaders across the end-to-end supply chain, but always touching on universal themes and topics that are relevant across the global supply chain industry. So, quick note before we introduce our guests, like all of our series on Supply Chain Now Radio, you can find our replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And as always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. All right, so let's say good morning to my talented co-host today. We have Chris Barnes, President and Executive Director with Apex Atlanta. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for letting me sit in.
Glad you are here. And then secondly, our Ben Harris, Director of the Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion, Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Scott. Happy to be here.
Thank you very much. And, you know, we should give a shout out to Will Haraway, who couldn't join us today. He's a regular part of our Supply Chain City team. Safe travels to where Will is. With his family. But we got a great show lined up today, Chris and Ben. Big show, focused on an intriguing case study in supply chain excellence. So let's say hello to our featured guest, Abir Thakurta, VP of Supply Chain with Haverty's. Good morning, Abir.
Good morning, Scott. Glad to be here.
We're glad you're here as well. Thanks for hosting us. And in fact, to our audience, I didn't mention, we've got a gorgeous view of Atlanta.
That we do.
8th floor of the Haverty's building, 780 in Sandy Springs.
It's a great view of Sandy Springs.
Okay.
All right, my favorite city. So,
Metro Atlanta. Okay, Sandy Springs, what have you. But it is a gorgeous Sandy Springs day. I think it's going to hit 70. And we are really excited to be here, hosted by an organization and a leader that's doing some really special things in the world of supply chain. We'll dive more into that momentarily. But Abir, thanks again for hosting. We're looking forward to talking with you. All right, so as always, what we always do here on the front end of these shows, we like to share some of the top things to know in supply chain now. Of course, it's tough to keep track with all the developments, innovations, and digesting all the change, but we're going to share a couple things that you definitely want to keep on your radar. So we're going to bring Ben Harris back in, and Ben, what's been on your radar here that you've been tracking lately?
So this is the morning of metrics, we'll call it. We've got a couple of interesting little factoids here that I wanted to share, especially with a retail theme, since we have Haverty's on the show. So I4Transport came out with a little piece of research here called The Perfect Order, Overcoming Roadblocks in Last Mile Delivery Experience. Mm. And although it's almost universal that supply chain leaders consider customer experience to be important, only 5% feel confident that their systems and technology can help them.
Mm.
5%, Scott.
Wow.
That is a very small number out there. So retail, as we know, it's not exactly an easy business to be in, right, Abir?
Mm. Yeah.
And we'll get into that more so. But I just thought that 5% number.
It's tiny, single digits.
Oh, I mean, just nothing out there. But that's why, you know, so many businesses are investing, you know, in that technology to optimize customer experience.
Well, you know, on that note, for those that are struggling in that space, they ought to stay tuned for some of the best practices that Abir is going to share from their supply chain success story, for sure.
That they should. Very timely for our episode here.
That's right.
In addition, robots in supply chain expected to be around in 50,000 warehouses by 2025. And more than 4 million robots are expected to be in more than 50,000 warehouses worldwide by 2025, up from 4,000 robotic warehouses in 2018. So major investment there. And Scott, we were talking about this earlier with cobots and things like that. That number includes mostly cobots there. So let's not go down the rabbit hole of talking about how they're going to replace us and that sort of thing. But I think it's a good thing overall that we're seeing that investment in supply chain and seeing that kind of focus, you know, on the technological side for supply chain.
As we say with every episode, technology is such a big, you know, this is our 69th episode of Supply Chain Radio, and technology has been such a major theme, of course, throughout all those episodes. And the thing we say every time is that for folks that are in supply chain that are willing to learn and willing to take on new tasks and projects and initiatives, this should be an exciting time. They should not feel threatened, because the rapidly developing technology in supply chain is going to open up brand new doors that's going to be elevating, you know, these folks that want to take the next step. So this is exciting to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing to add there is the majority of the growth is really expected in Asia-Pac, like China, Japan, South Korea. And that's according, I wanted to give one shout-out to the folks who actually put this research out. ABI Research was the company who put this out. And I'm sure our friends at Gray Orange love hearing these things, especially with them, their worldwide headquarters being there in Singapore. So
I think they've got the next, so their CEO of North America was on the show with us a year or so ago.
Mr. Chris Barber.
Yes, Chris Barber, fascinating guest. And we had some things lined up for him to come back and maybe host an executive session or come back for another appearance. I think he's busy for the next 6 years.
I hope to see him actually next week.
Okay.
There at ProMat up in Chicago. I've made it a point. I'm going to stop by his booth and corral him somehow, lasso him maybe, or do something to get a hold of him. He's a great guy. I know they're very busy with their growth right now, but I do plan to stop by the booth and see them next week.
Those are great problems to have, and we're only joshing around a little bit, but he was a great guest, and of course this is going to keep firms that provide these solutions extremely busy. So it's good to hear.
Yep.
I wonder how these executives have time to run their companies when they're out doing so much marketing. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's one of the key roles of the modern day company leader,
yeah,
right?
Is to spread the wealth,
focus
spread
on
the
growth. Yeah. So one other shout out, I think, Ben, as I'm peering over your shoulder there, because we love our friends at Supply Chain Dive. They've been great. It's one of the leading. So we're doing more and more media partnerships at Supply Chain Radio, and almost each of these events and organizers that we're talking with to put these in place tout their partnerships and the results they get via Supply Chain Dive and the content and the coverage. So I think they are, when you look at benchmarking, leading, especially digital players, of getting good content, best practices out, Supply Chain Dive tops the list, at least still.
Amen. No, I follow them religiously and get their daily updates. So, yeah, phenomenal publication.
Good. Shameless high five to the folks over at Supply Chain Dive. So what else?
Scott, if I can give a little something I saw in the news recently.
Please.
I'm studying drone delivery as a last mile thing as well. I was in Greensboro, North Carolina last week, and I saw UPS is doing drone delivery on the medical side, lab results. So I guess time is of the essence if your doctor needs to hear back about something. So, and these are actual, not something they can send over the internet. So it's things they have to physically get back and look at. And it's something that they were doing on a limited scale, delivering the lab results via the drones. But it was like within a quarter mile, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I guess when you have congestion and everything else, that was an interesting model.
Yep.
And then in talking with Abir this morning, I mentioned Zipline, which is a company in Rwanda. And they're doing medical deliveries to their remote hospitals and things around the country because of their, you know, what drives that is the necessity of invention is they don't have infrastructure. They can't get product delivered. So it's a very, very desolate area. Mm. But what they're doing is they're delivering medical supplies, et cetera, to hospitals via the zip line, which is cool.
Yeah, it's so, you know, we take for granted the infrastructure we have here, right? And even though we've covered the needs of needing to reinvest in infrastructure, you know, I think as we've talked about in previous shows, the Association of, I think, American Civil Engineers estimate $4.5 trillion is what's needed to invest in holistic infrastructure, not just highways and byways.
Sure.
But, Chris, to your point, when you think of other parts of the world, and their infrastructure and the challenges that you're talking about, it's a different ballgame.
Sure.
You know? So stuff we take for granted here.
Well, I also, you know, in my nerdiness, I study the interstate system, Eisenhower Interstate System. I think that's one of the things that's made our country, you know, one of the powerhouses that it is, you know, ability to get product wherever you need to get it through that network of 44,000 miles. Mm. And looking out our window, this is the center of one of the new interstate development systems in North Georgia is the 400-285 interchange, which is going to take a couple of years, but it looks fantastic in the design.
What they're referring that the high speed lane. What the roller coaster or
I don't know.
Anyway,
flyover.
Something like
flyover. Yeah, that's
something like that. But Chris, to your point, what I love doing, and I'm gonna share a little secret with y'all. Whenever I do business in town, so we live out in the burbs, and whenever I do business in town, I have a Saturday morning meeting, and you could drive in town at 6 a.m. and take advantage of how neat really it is to drive, you know, through all the interstates mm-hmm. at that point in time, because traffic is knock on wood, oftentimes that's one of the slower times, and you can do the speed limit, and it's just fun to drive in Atlanta during those times, to your point, because there's so much infrastructure, so much, you know, the highways and byways, and we're not doing 35 in Atlanta.
Sure.
At least, except on 5 p.m. at 5 p.m. on weekdays. But anyway.
And just one more little nerdy supply chain note. So the interstate system was originally started in 1956 for the U.S. That was the same year that the first, and we may talk about this later with the beer, the first commercial container ship was started in 1956. So I think there's a conspiracy there, and that's one of the things that made it supply chain so great is the ability to get products on containers came the same year as the interstate system started.
It is interesting when you go back and look at the points of connection.
Yeah.
You know, one thing leads to another. But we are fortunate here, certainly in the supply chain city, to have infrastructure far and away on a different level than so many other parts of the country and parts of the world. Ben, anything else on your radar before we move on to our featured guest?
That's about it. There was one other note I wanted to say. It looks like automotive supply chains have been really more on the move. I know we kind of teased it a little bit last week, but mm-hmm. There's actually a report that just came out here talking about how, especially in the Asia-Pacific market, really hinging on what's going on in China right now with their trade policy. There could be a big shift. There already has been a shift. Now, Abir's nodding his head over here. We both agree there's been a big shift already out of China, you know, for manufacturing. We're seeing a lot of that go to Malaysia, a lot of other Southeast countries, Vietnam and some other places right now. And I think that trend looks like it may continue, depending on what, you know, Xi Jinping in China, depends on what, you know, what they decide on trade policy. Mm-hmm. But right now it looks like automotive supply chains are starting to kind of jockey for position mm-hmm. on, you know, kind of what their next move is. And I think we've even seen it in the U.S. Mm-hmm. We talked about Toyota. And their continued investment here in the U.S. just recently also. Big expansion of their manufacturing facilities here in the U.S. So we could see additional kind of collateral effects from that. So, again, just something to keep on the radar, especially, gosh, you know, Atlanta has become such a mecca around supply chain for automotive here. Kia being one of those. They actually just invested in another line, their new SUV. The name of the SUV just eludes me now. However, that was another big investment there. Is it the Pioneer?
The new
Kia. SUV that they just came out with. Yep.
Malcolm and the research team.
I know.
Will be
Where's
on
Malcolm?
That.
But
so
yes,
we'll come back to that.
I think we will continue to see that as a trend here for automotive supply chains here in the Southeast.
Yep. And you know, the first one just left. The first of these vehicles just left the Georgia ports, and so we'll get back on that. That was the Super Bowl commercial. Was a fantastic commercial talking about
it was,
the Kia
wasn't
plant,
it?
Talking about West Point and how neat that was.
That was a great commercial. It was very kind of...
Telluride,
thank you.
Thanks,
the
Malcolm.
Kia Save Telluride, us. Thanks to Malcolm there.
That's right.
But yeah, no, that commercial was so inspiring,
yeah.
I would say, more than anything else.
Well, you know, I think the neat thing about it, even though that commercial focused in on West Point, Georgia, which has been, the Kia plant there has been such a huge economic engine for really the Southeast, not just the state of Georgia, but the Southeast. Stories like that exist globally, mm-hmm. you know, because these communities rally around these manufacturing plants, these distribution centers, you know, the supply chain, you know, because it provides jobs, it provides Yeah, paychecks. It provides opportunity, and it provides opportunities to further your career. And that's really when we talk about, not to get too cheesy, but the power of the modern day global supply chain. In many ways, that is a huge example, perfect illustration of why it's so meaningful. So,
yep.
All right. So unless Chris, that
no,
should
I can
conclude.
Tell you some more stories about the interstates and the containers.
Well, you know.
Future show.
If we have time at the end of today's
Thank
segment,
you.
We're going to have story time with Chris Barnes.
That might
segment.
Be a new segment for real. Story time with Chris.
Oh, boy. All right. So glad you're here with us. I love it. All right, so let's shift gears over. Again, we are pleased to be here broadcasting live from a supply chain super competitor, and which is led by Abir Thakarta, Vice President of Supply Chain with Haverty's. And Haverty's is a leading, for those of you that may not have grown up with the Haverty's brand like I know I did, a leading retail furniture company that has 100 stores in over 16 states. And most folks may not know that it was founded in Atlanta in 1885.
And still is here to this day.
That's right. Absolutely. And as we were walking in today, Abir was telling us some of the history they have here in the building, and some of the items they still have, and some of the ways that they used to do business. For example, selling furniture by the pound, he mentioned. And it's just, I think furniture is one of those things that we always have had, we always will have. And it's such a snapshot of culture and a snapshot of who we are as consumers. So it's a pleasure to sit back down with you, Abir, after meeting you at the 2019
not there yet.
Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, where Haverty's left with the most coveted recognition. We'll talk about that in a second, but it was great to meet you and great to be here to kind of understand the story behind y'all's success. So good morning again, Abir.
Good morning, Scott, and I'm so happy to be here and and to see Chris and Ben and Scott, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So before we dive into Haverty's and your supply chain team's success, tell us more about yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from India. Mm-hmm. I spent about, 12 years there. And, I can say I spent, more time outside India than in India because, when I was young, I actually moved to Africa. And then from there, I went back to India, and then I went to Europe. And, now I'm here and, I've made Atlanta home for the last 20 years. Mm. So I have the distinction of, having lived in four continents.
Wow.
And I think I'll stop there. Okay. I'll stop there.
Are you sure Antarctica is not on your list right now?
No, it's not. I love Atlanta and I love the city and, all the things you guys are doing as well as all of the history that Chris was talking about. Mm. So I've been in Atlanta for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I have a background in supply chain. In fact, I came into supply chain when, there was nothing called supply chain. And, I was trying to look for higher education, and I wanted to get into an MBA program, but I also needed a scholarship. And so there was this interdisciplinary scholarship program out of the New Jersey Institute of, Technology, where they were just starting, with this supply chain program. Mm. I said, I'll take it. Mm. And I had the flexibility to take the courses I wanted. So, that was my first foray into supply chain. I'm glad I've been there.
So what's interesting is you mentioned earlier about the four continents and your travels. But in today's supply chain, it is global. I mean, we are a global business world unlike ever before, and it's created the seat at the table, as we always talk about, for the supply chain profession unlike ever before. And you've got a pretty unique perspective because you probably, having lived everywhere you've lived, to see the different organizations across those continents and what they have to do, that's a lot of Americans haven't been able to see that and claim the same thing, for living in four continents. So speak to that global aspect in today's supply chain a little bit. What do you think about when you think about that?
You actually said it right. Today supply chains are, there is nothing called a local supply chain. Mm. Every supply chain is global. It is a network world. And, I am a sum total of all my experiences. Mm. And I can tell you when I was having lived in all of those continents and understanding the cultures, It has helped me to become a supply chain leader. Mm. There are countries where, the culture says you have to say yes, and you have to decipher that a yes is a yes or a true yes or really not a yes. And so the human element, definitely it comes into a supply chain. We talk so much about, so many things, about automation and things like that. But the human element is so important. And having lived in all of those continents and having understood, you know, cultures, it has shaped me to be the supply chain leader that I am. And it continues to help me, you know. And I can tell you an interesting anecdote where, you know, once as I came into Haverty's and we were looking at, you know, domestic manufacturing, I was going into Tupelo, Mississippi. And you know, some of my, you know, team members were like, have you been to Tupelo, Mississippi? I said, you know what, I've never been to Tupelo, Mississippi, but I'll be fine because I've been, you know, to places in South Africa, you know, Tanzania, and then all the way up into Greece and France. So, you know, I think I'll be able to handle that. But yeah, you're right. The human element in a global supply chain, absolutely, it becomes important.
And you know, keeps good. There's always common threads that appear with each episode, and despite all the technology that Ben alluded to and reported on the front end of the segment, it always comes back to the human element. You know, we had a guest on some time that said until cobots and drones can empathize, you know, it'll always be about the human element. And I thought that was a pretty interesting way of putting it. You know, of course, decision making, of course, risk assessment, of course, expertise and you know, all the things that require the human intellect and human mind in the modern day supply chain, of course. But empathy, you know, is a very important factor.
It is absolutely important. And, you know, I'm all for automation. I'm all for, you know, having the right, you know, technology in place. But at the end of the day, smart decisions can, you know, have to be made by humans. And to everybody that, you know, talks about their jobs, you know, you talked about you know, some of the jobs are going to go away. You know, my advice to, you know, all of them has always been that it's the value of the work that will actually change. You know, your jobs may actually, you know, go away, but it also brings in other things and other jobs as well. So you might actually, you know, move away from doing the mundane, you know, data entry work, but you're probably going to live in an exception-based world, and you have to manage exceptions. So your value increases as you kind of look at the human element.
I love that.
And automation, yeah.
I love how you put that. And I should also, that previous quote about empathy, I should give some credit to Stephen Nottingham with Friend Design. I don't want to steal his perspective there, but I love how you put that. So let's talk about, let's shift gears a little bit, and let's talk about Haverty's. And first off, if you could expound a little bit more on what the organization does and how it serves its customers, and then we're going to dive into supply chain here.
Yeah, absolutely. Haverty's, you know, as you said, we've been around for 130 years. In fact, actually more. In fact, next year we're going to be celebrating 135 years of of Haverty's. And, you know, we started as an organization that looked at servicing our customer. And you know, we're still that same organization at heart. We aspire to help customers, you know, bring the vision of their home to life. I mean, that's our vision. And we're driven to delight our customers. And, you know, every organization will talk about customers and but at the core of Haverty's, we do everything for our customer, whether it's personalized design, whether it's quality home furnishings, whether it's making sure we can, you know, bring her vision of our home to life. You know, that's our you know, that's our goal. And we've been doing it for a long time. Also, as an organization, we value our associates, our shareholders. We are a, you know, public organization, and you know, a small history there. We actually, you know, were listed on the stock exchange, on the New York Stock Exchange, around the same time as the Great, you know, Depression. We have an excellent executive team here that has, you know, been around for a long time, you know, but also we have, you know, fresh infusion of executives that are coming in and looking at how we can take this, you know, organization to the next level and the next 100
years. Not sitting on your laurels. Yeah, not sitting on your laurels.
Yes.
Keep raising the bar.
Yes, we have to continue. We have to, you know, continue to move it forward. And we always believe that, you know, from a supply chain standpoint, you know, a world-class, you know, customer experience requires a world-class supply chain to back it up. Because today, organizations don't just compete, you know, amongst themselves. Their supply chains compete. And in the retail business, as you know, Ben, retailers don't compete just on products. They compete on their supply chains and the ability, you know, to delight that customer across all of the different, you know, channels becomes key.
It's table stakes these days. It really is. So if we can, as we shift from kind of Haverty's organization to supply chain, and we're talking with Abir Thakarta, Vice President of Supply Chain with Haverty's on Supply Chain Radio today. So I want to bring Chris Barnes back in. Ben and Chris and I and several other great folks served on the planning committee of 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. But Chris Barnes had probably the toughest job. He served as the chair of the judges panel. And in the first year event, we really had a lot more nominations than we had anticipated. Mm-hmm. And the recognition well, Chris, I'm going to let you tell the story. Tell, if you would, share with our listeners what we recognize Haverty's with and the story behind that story. And then we're going to dive more into the secrets of their success.
Yeah, so the awards, it was actually something that started, the Metro Chamber started it probably 10, 15 years ago, and it kind of tapered off, and we kind of rekindled the whole thing. I think it's just recognizing exceptional performance in supply chain for Atlanta Metro organizations. But in this case, we had this year we had 51 nominations from both shippers as well as vendors and service providers. So we were very pleased with the turnout that we had this year. The award categories, it was freight forwarders, warehousing and fulfillment excellence, transportation provider, supply chain innovation, sustainability, manufacturing, sourcing. So pretty much anything that touches or is a part of the extended supply chain. And this year, Haverty's was nominated by, they didn't nominate themselves, I think they were nominated by one of their vendors, is that correct? And then for supply chain innovation of the year. And it was an exceptional story. It was well presented, and again, congratulations to them.
So let me, part of what the bottom line results were, and I want to work backwards here. So I want to share, because these things are, as Sandy Lake presented the award, and Sandy's with the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics, this was part of the basis of the, behind the recognition. So Haverty's has seen sales go up, margins go up, cost to serve decrease, and customer satisfaction go up because of the ability for the supply chain to react and respond to customer demand profitably. It's one thing to respond. You know, you can lose a bunch of money by responding, but to respond profitably and deliver furniture as promised, unlike many competitors. So that was kind of the backdrop from a big picture, bottom line results. And so let's work backwards, Abir, and let's kind of better understand what allowed Haverty's organization to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it started about 3.5 years back, you know, when we were looking at our supply chain. You think about supply chains, you know, in the retailing world, you can produce a quality product, but efficiently, you know, getting it into the hands of the customer, in our case, into our customers' homes, is at the core of the business. And, you know, you create a shoddy product, you lose. You make the customer wait too long after they've made the purchase, and you're going to lose. And you do everything brilliantly, as you mentioned, but at a ridiculous cost, you lose again. Mm. So as we looked at our supply chain, the basics were there. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to start looking at the supply chain from a competitive advantage perspective, especially in the furniture business. If you look at the furniture business in general, you have some stock, and then you have some stuff that's made to order. And with the personalization process that our edge designers or our home designers are bringing in, there is a lot more personalization. And so, if I were to take every piece of, you know, furniture that we sold at the rate of what they were selling in a month, and I would try to put it into my distribution centers, I would probably need 3 to 4 times more distribution space than I have. So what we have done, you know, without spilling all of the details, is that we have, you know, tried to become a lot more agile. We've tried to become a lot more, you know, digital and, you know, data-driven. And we were always customer-centric. In fact, in our world, any project that we undertake, especially a transformation project like the one we're talking about here, if it didn't benefit the customers, we wouldn't see, you know, we wouldn't probably be doing it. So today what happens is we use the inventory on the water, an inventory that is inbound, as virtual inventory to sell, as well as set home deliveries against it. Now, that is a very novel concept, and you would say, okay, why can't we do that? But it requires orchestration. And it requires looking at your supply chain as an information supply chain as well, because it is the information that all of your partners are helping you with that you are actually relying on to start serving the customer. And I think that in itself, for an industry that has been around for a long time, has been disruptive. You know, we've had a lot of our vendors come to us. You know, we call them our, you know, partners. You know, they've come to us and they've said, you know, some of the things that we're doing at Haverty is helping the industry in general. You know, kind of like the rising tide raises all the boats. So that's the crux of, you know, what we've done. We've tried to bring everybody, you know, together to talk about how our supply chain should operate and to efficiently execute.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals and companies in the Southeast. Consider getting involved with Apex Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day bootcamp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, Apex Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
So this beer you mentioned, I'm just trying to look at correlations. You talked about this transformation has been going on for about 3.5 years. And how long have you been with Haverty's?
About 5 years now.
So are you kind of involved in the whole strategy and and developing kind of what the change needs to be?
Yeah. Yes. One of the things we did when I came on board was look at our supply chain and look at areas and, you know, put together an agenda, which, you know, at that time we called Supply Chain 2020. And now we've reframed that to Supply Chain 2025. you know, there are a lot of things to do, you know, and it's a journey, as you guys all know. Yeah, digital transformation in general is a journey. And every time we solve a problem, you know, we find another opportunity.
So one of the things you concluded with previously is execution. Because, you know, you can have the best, and I'm just preaching to the choir, I'm sure, best strategy, most disruptive model and technology, and as customer-centric as it's in the culture. But if you can't execute on all of that, going back to what you're saying, you lose, right? If you can't execute, you lose, right?
You're absolutely right. But execution has the other element to it, right? You know, I tell everybody, if I knew exactly what my customer would buy 6 months from now, you know, my job would be so much easier. Probably I wouldn't have a job.
Wouldn't need you.
In, you know, today's world, customers demand a lot more, you know, and they want stuff, you know, at the time, you know, when they're making a decision. So in order to aid in that customer experience, we are working with a lot of unknowns because we don't know what she will buy. And, oh, by the way, our customer is a she.
Well, I buy stuff too.
Yes, you're our customer.
Not as much.
I like how you mentioned her house or her home, because I don't know It's never been my home. Target. Never been my home.
If you look at the purchasing power and any statistic out there, procurement, whether it's in industry or the consumer, a lot of the decisions made, the majority are by the females that live here, and especially the procurement side.
Sure.
It can be surprising if you haven't done your homework. So I like how you put it as well, Abir.
Yeah. So she's a decision maker, and we want her to spend time with her spouse, husband, boyfriend, in order to make those decisions. But if we knew exactly what she was going to buy, it would be so much more easier, right? Mm. So you can plan all you want, and planning is very important in your supply chain. But you also have to execute fast. Mm. You have to have the ability to be agile, which is responding to her in a profitable manner. And I think it's that element, that becomes key, because you have to have all of your partners being able to react to that variable consumer demand.
Mm-hmm.
So let's.
You talked about orchestrated. Did you say that, or are you about ready
yes.
to say that?
Yeah, I did say orchestration.
So let's tee this up first. Let's tee this up first, because there's a great, our timing, which isn't always great, today is fantastic. So Steve Banker, which is a well-known supply chain analyst and author, he contributes to Forbes on a regular basis, which is one of the columns that's always on my radar. So Forbes just published a great article entitled "The Journey to an Orchestrated Supply Chain." So remember the O word there. Steve Banker was the author, and really it's a profile piece on you and the Haverty's supply chain organization and some of the initiatives that have brought you to where you are. And beyond the orchestration, which I want to definitely get you to speak to, which is a key theme, the other key theme of the article is certainly autonomy, right? So orchestration and autonomy. And y'all can go check it out. It was just published yesterday, as a matter of fact. We'll include the link to the article in the show notes. But orchestration and autonomy are two big things that it focused on. So tell us about why, what that is in the Haverty's world, and why that's important to enable you to execute and deliver on your brand promise.
Yeah, so, and I think Steve did a great job. We spoke for about 15, 20 minutes, and he really created an article that speaks to the innovation that we're talking about here. In the world of orchestration, it's about, the analogy I give is a symphony. You have everybody, every conductor, you have a conductor, and then you have everybody
from the French horns to the flutes to the tuba.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And everybody is singing from a single note, and you think about the supply chain, you create the strategy, but at the end of the day, your supply chain is a sum total of your partners and everybody that is responsible for making, moving, delivering, the product to your customer.
Yep.
And in order to make all of them work, you have to figure out a way and a medium so that they're all singing the same song. And so from an innovation and from an orchestration perspective, we have lots of systems that are in the cloud these days that can help with that. And that's what we took one of the solutions and we said we want to use that as the platform for bringing all of these parties together. Mm-hmm. Think about Facebook, and think about information sharing. In the world of supply chain, prior to the advent of cloud computing, you had partners seeking information, and if you didn't seek the right information, you didn't know what was going on. Now, if you think about Facebook-like model where you publish information and all of that information is available to anybody who subscribes to it, it's that information model that allows you to do certain things. And as you start getting that information model and as you start getting confidence in the data associated with that information model, you can then translate that to the basics of supply chain, like managing inventory, like making sure your freight and your freight spend is is managed appropriately. You are using the right carriers, the right drayage partners, the right transportation providers to move your product closer to market.
Mm.
So to me, that, you know, that was the key. And again, we're not done yet. There are so many more things we, you know, we feel we have to do. And, you know, I just talked about one system, but there are, you know, there are multiple systems at play here that help us. But at the core of everything that we're doing from an innovation perspective is we're asking the simple, basic question, how does it help her?
Mm.
And if it doesn't help her, we question again, do we really need to do it? Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, I have to, you know, I have to say our executive team, especially John Gill, who is responsible for all of merchandising and supply chain, and our CEO, Clarence Smith, and our CFO, Richard Hare, they have all come together and said, okay, yeah, here are the things that we need to do. And, you know, we need to see how we prioritize those in our supply chain and how do we do that with an eye for the customer. Because at the end of the day, if the customer is not served, you know, it becomes more challenging. Mm-hmm. So to relate the customer story, today if you walk into a Haverty store, all of the information that supply chain is gathering, is executing, is driving some of that competitive advantage because a customer can know with a high degree of confidence when, you know, they're going to get their product in their homes.
And Abir, you're talking about, you know, trusting some data and you know, really executing based on, you know, particular data sets. Was that part of that transformation? Did you have to kind of level set and kind of go back and look at a lot of pieces of data and go through some data rationalization before you kind of went down this path, if you will?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And we're still going down some data rationalization. But at the end of the day, the data is being provided outside the four walls by all your partners.
Mm-hmm.
And where that data origins is actually originating from is important in order to have a lot, you know, to have the high degree of confidence around it. So we couldn't do this without our partners. We couldn't do this without our factories. We couldn't do this without our vendors. We couldn't do this without our carriers. And, you know, we had to bring them along and say that, you know, sharing information is good because not only does it help us win, it helps you win too.
Absolutely. So looking ahead, what's the next challenge for your team? What, and you've kind of touched on a couple things, how you know, y'all don't sit on your laurels and you keep raising the bar. Can you share anything about what's ahead, that what the next challenge is going to be?
I think we have to continue to serve the customer, you know. I think we have to do things that will help her. I think we have to drive that competitive advantage. We're in a business where, you know, loyalty is hard to come by, you know. We typically don't do loyalty programs because 53% of our customers never come back.
Mm. Really? Interesting.
Yeah. If you sell them a quality, a piece of furniture and, you know, furnish one of their rooms, you're hoping that the next room comes to you.
Sure.
But with the kind of quality we have at Haverty's, those things will last a lifetime.
Mm.
So you're not in the business of replacing furniture, but you're in the business of trying to, you know, trying to refresh her home.
Mm. And the growth's got to come from somewhere. Yeah. Right?
That's correct.
And the quality, you're kind of a victim of your own success.
Mm. Yes.
The quality. Yeah.
Yes. And so if you have 53% of customers that are never going to come back, there is a challenge to reduce that number. But there is the other challenge of having 47% of them have the right experience, including the 53 too. If you don't have the experience, they're never going to come back.
Right.
So you have to have that experience. And in our business, home deliveries are key because that's the last mile. That's the last touch point a customer has to Haverty's. Mm. So you might do a great job of selling her a product and her vision for her home, but at the end of the day, if you don't, you know, deliver,
that's a big touch point.
It is a big touch point because she's letting you come into your house, into her house. Mm. Also, financially, we don't recognize revenue until we deliver. So
there you go.
So there's your big business case.
There you go. There's your driver.
Yeah, Beer, what are you doing? So, while we're on the kind of the home delivery and kind of delivery aspect of it, what are you guys doing around that touch point right now? Anything that's kind of innovative or kind of cutting edge around right now?
Yeah, there are a lot of technologies around that. In fact, my my partner Greg Johnson, who runs that side of the business, he's constantly looking for ways to improve that experience, from technology, from technology that helps, not only our drivers and our associates, but to also technology that helps our customers. Those things, we have to do. That's table stakes now. But, one of the things we decided a long time back was to take care of that business, take control of that business. So we don't actually outsource that business to a third party, at least for now.
So that's a Haverty's employee that is making that
That's
delivery.
A Haverty's employee. That's a Haverty's driver with a Haverty's asset, taking care of the Haverty's products and making sure that, we're delivering. And that has helped us, kind of standardize that experience. We've spent a lot of time training our associates. Our executives get on those trucks and actually do home deliveries to see how that experience works. And we make small changes. I mean, innovation is relative. You can do a small thing and that can be very innovative and have an impact. To me, innovation that works and has made an impact is key, because you can have a lot of things you innovate on, but if it doesn't see the life, then it doesn't work. And even small things like having steps for our for our drivers has been innovative in that world. So yes, there is technology. To answer your question, Ben, there is technology, but then at the end of the day, it's the human element again. It's training our associates, because at the end of the day, we are in the business of delivering furniture, and that's not easy. That is not easy. It's very different from taking a parcel and dropping it off at your door.
So as we kind of start to close this featured interview with Abir Thakurta, VP of Supply Chain with Haverty's, what are some of the other supply chain trends that have been on your radar, Abir? I mean, we touched on some on the front end, and you're speaking to some throughout the interview, but what else are you keeping your finger on the pulse of?
Yeah, I think Ben hit upon on some of them. I mean, I do see automation coming in, but I am always skeptical about automation. I think there has to be a level of governance around it. And the human element, should not be forgotten, because there are some things humans will do, that, machines can't replicate. So I think automation will come in. And I think as supply chain leaders, we have to look at where you get the best return on that investment. I can see opportunities for automation within the distribution center. I can see opportunities for automation in some of the information, gathering, that happens. I think machine learning is an interesting area. That's an area that we, should be looking at, we're looking at. But I'm relying on my technology providers and my service providers to come to me with the advice, and then I'm taking a look at that and saying, is that something that, again, will help her or not?
Practical application.
So, theme. Speaking of practical applications, let me put on my APIX and Association for Supply Chain Management glasses or microphone here. So you've talked about orchestrated supply chain, and I'm going to call that collaboration across the supply chain, which is, for any APIX students listening, that is a fundamental concept for studying the CPI, CSCP or the CLTD, so extended enterprises. We'll talk about those in the classes. But also, we talked earlier pre-show, Abir, about you have multiple supply chains within your supply chain. I think that's an interesting concept as well.
Yes. And again, supply chain serves the business. And the business and the consumers and our customer drives those businesses. So we have segmented our supply chain. And at the end of the day, I think, depending on the category of products that our customer buys, there are different supply chains. We have a supply chain for imports associated with upholstery and case goods. We have a supply chain for domestic manufacturing. And, we have a supply chain for home furnishings, accessories, rugs. We have another one for bedding, mattresses, and, pillows. And they all operate with, different, dynamics. And as a supply chain leader, you have to segment them, and you have to look at them differently as opposed to one single supply chain, because what works for one doesn't work for the other.
Yeah, some of the examples we talk about that in our workshops. We chose Gap and Gap the clothing, and as well as Zara. Zara is a good example of having multiple supply chains. But I challenged my students to find any other examples, and here we are. Well, so
on that note, and a beer. If you can't talk about this, no worries. We'll take it offline. But CT Pat is a theme that's been coming up time and time again in the last.
CT Pat, that's another APIC.
That's why I mentioned it.
Thank you, Scott. That's a softball right there. Yes. Softball.
But it's been testament to how things can be streamlined and secure across supply chain. And Abir, I don't know if you can share, speaking of the global supply chain and the document you shared in the warm-up conversation, all the different languages and how you're adding more languages. Can you speak to that a little bit? The value of that program?
I mean, CTPAT at the end of the day, I think is a great program for supply chains to look at. It brings in a level of structure to how you're operating your supply chain, with an eye on security, with an eye on trade, right? And as supply chains become more and more global, and as you bring more partners into your mix, CTPAT allows you to help them get to the level of security exposure, security posture that is necessary. As supply chain leaders, I always maintain we have an obligation to this country. We have an obligation to making sure that we do all of the right things that help this country. Mm. But at the same time, CTPAT helps with that. Mm-hmm. In a global organization, when you're looking at, factories all over the world, understanding, helping them, become more CTPAT compliant is only good for you and your supply chain. So, I think every supply chain leader, thinks about it, in the right framework. And there's a lot of work that is required in order to get compliant. And to maintain compliance. But,
absolutely.
But in my experience, the Customs and Border Protection has been very helpful in guiding organizations like us and our supply chains with the compliance.
Fantastic.
So CTPAT,
yeah,
that stands for Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism. And it's a U.S.-based voluntary program. So
it's a voluntary program.
For imports.
So. And it expedites the process
saves time.
Yes, absolutely. There's a big business case for it.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And for absolutely. Anyone studying for the CLTD, this is a free one.
There we go. And CSCP.
CSCP. Oh, is it? CSCP.
Well, I'm not giving them any trade secrets. It's in the APIC's body of knowledge.
No, this is part of it. This is
it should be. You should study it.
This is part of it.
So, one last question, Abir. So, how can folks get in touch with you or get in touch and learn more about the Haverty's organization?
Well, we have about 120 odd storefronts. Mm-hmm. Come in, meet our associates, understand what we sell. See if you need to furnish your home. Bring her in, and then as far as supply chain is concerned, shoot me a line. Supplychain@Haverty's.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're always interested in understanding, what we could do better, and we're always listening to our customer.
And you seem to be, we give regular keynotes. I think the basis of the Forbes article was a trade show of sorts, maybe an Infor show. So you're out sharing that story a good bit, which you should be. You should be proud. I think we've got to celebrate the fellows we put in our hat, right?
I have a couple of motives there too. I want to proliferate the Haverty's brand, and it helps with supply chain talent too, right?
Hey, war for talent, live and well.
Speaking of the talent, do you hire people here? Do you hiring for?
Yes.
So I'm sending my daughter off to college. So this is a loaded question for me. What skills do you look for when you're hiring people?
To me, somebody in supply chain has to have a very open, open mindset. Mm. They have to be able to understand and appreciate you know, the 50 things that are happening at the same time. As I say, supply chain happens. You come in every day and stuff happens. So to me, you have to have an open mindset, the first thing. You know, the attitude, you know, trumps everything. The aptitude helps. Having some analytical skills help. An appreciation for technology helps, because today supply chains have a lot of technology. But then also having the ability to, you know, to do supply chain 101, you know, walk the distribution floor, see what's going on.
Mm. Be willing to do that too, right?
Yes, be willing to do that. You know, very often we get, you know, a lot of young talent coming in, very bright talent. And when they come into Haverty's, the first thing I do is I say, you need to go walk the stores, you need to go walk the distribution centers. You need to see how things are getting received. You need to see how stuff is moving in and out, so that you can get an appreciation of even the simple things, you know.
Yep. Excuse me. I was having dinner with a manufacturer Monday, and regardless of what they hire for, regardless of what the individual's function and position is going to be, their first three months, they place them in all aspects of the manufacturing operation, from AP to, you know, to warehousing and shipping to production. And I thought that was such a neat approach, number one. But number two, as we're seeing, especially the talent coming out of schools now, that they want that that understanding, you know, kind of big picture, and the different and the rotation programs. This is something that are motivating factors for a lot of folks in these you know, the folks coming out of college now.
You are absolutely right. You know, one of the best things that I tell everybody that happened to us in the world of supply chain is the rise of Amazon. Mm. It kind of made everybody realize that supply chains can have a lot of effectiveness and can actually drive the business. And I'm testimony to that. You know, I'm working here in an organization that values what supply chain does. And to everyone out there who thinks, you know, this is just logistics, it's actually not. It's actually driving the business. And to every young, you know, supply chain, you know, student, what I will say is, you know, embrace it, understand the basics, and come on with an open mindset, because we all need you.
Love it. Love it. What a great way to kind of wrap up this interview here. And of course, you can learn more about Haverty's at Haverty's.com, HAVERTYS.com. And we've been speaking to Abir Thakarda, Vice President, Supply Chain with Haverty's. And congratulations on all of your success and recognition, you and your team for sure, and the organization. Thanks for being a part of the 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. You've set the bar for a lot of those, you know, in the hotly contested Supply Chain Innovation of the Year category, which, as Chris mentioned, that was the most hotly contested category. And we continue to speak with folks that didn't win, that they're going at
really
it next year.
That one.
Yes, they're going at it next year. So thanks so much, Abir. Really appreciate it.
I think it's great for the city of Atlanta.
Yep.
I think it's great for Georgia, you know, that we're seeing so much hashtag supply chain city work.
Hey,
you know,
that's I like that.
Amen. That's happening. And again, thank you for the opportunity. It was great talking to you guys.
And Abir, I wanted to, one more plug. Just wanted to say thanks for your leadership and support of the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Mm. Also, obviously, a proud member of Supply Chain City and our Supply Chain Leadership Council. So, without your leadership, we simply could not do what we do. So, thank you for your support.
Great point.
You're welcome.
Hear, hear. All right. So let's wrap up on a couple of upcoming events. There's no shortage. We're certainly in association trade show season. But first off, locally, we want to talk about, we've got Apex Atlanta has a new workshop in conjunction with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance and Bo Groover of the Effective Syndicate. Doosan, which I believe manufactures forklifts, right?
They do. Amongst many other things. Yes.
That's right. They are hosting Proven Techniques for Continuous Improvement on May 10th. And Apex Atlanta is a proud co-sponsor of that event. Looking forward to talking shop about OPEX and ways to further the organization. You can find that at the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance website, or it'll be in the Supply Chain Buzz, which is due out today, I believe. Chris, we've got upcoming classes at the Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute, right? And that's the week of June 24th?
Yeah, June 24th is the summer program. It's 2.5-day boot camp, so it's really designed just to kickstart your self-study program around CSCP and CLTD, and that's followed up again in the fall in October.
And, you know, one of the neat outcomes of the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, is that has we set out to do a lot of things with that program to recognize 15 different organizations across the end-to-end supply chain with some recognition. I think that's what you recognize folks with, right? Recognition.
Yeah.
But more equally as important, it was a scholarship generator. So the classes that Chris mentioned are coming up at APIX at GTSCL. We are running a campaign for veterans that are interested in obtaining their supply chain credentials. We're going to be offering two scholarships to those boot camps. And APIX Atlanta is going to be covering the learning system. Tim Brown and the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute, they're going to be a part of the class, which is great. 2.5 days of live instruction. And while the exam fees will be, part of the skin of the game that the individuals, put into the equation, still, what a great opportunity, Chris, and a great outcome from the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, and really appreciate your work in helping to make that happen.
Sure.
So if you're a veteran listening to this podcast today and you're interested in obtaining what is a world-class supply chain certification, credential, and add that to your resume and really help with your transition or help with your career advancement, shoot us a note to Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com. We have a very simple survey where we're collecting all the folks that are interested so that our board can get together and determine, the two winners. But what a great opportunity, Chris.
Yeah, and Scott, on a different note, we've got other learning opportunities coming up in the pipeline. A workshop with the municipality in Northeast Atlanta, actually Northeast Metro.
Mm.
We're going to be doing a CLTD workshop. It's going to be 5 consecutive Fridays, probably 6 hours a day, so it's more extended than the boot camps. And then we're also working on a partnership with University of Tennessee Chattanooga to offer CSCP workshops in the great city of Chattanooga.
Okay.
And those will be probably on Mondays, evening classes, 3 hours a night, so it's going to be more extended for people that have different learning styles, probably starting in September.
Home of the Lookouts, right?
Lookouts.
Well, terrific.
Big part of Freight Alley.
That's
also,
right.
As we call that
Freight Alley,
75 corridor there.
So yeah, there's a lot of transportation up there.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so moving on from APIX to other items, E-Commerce Operations Summit is in Columbus, Ohio, April 9th through the 11th, which is next week. Leading industry conference really focusing on the hot e-commerce space. Our listeners can receive a discount by using promo code TAL150 during registration. You can learn more at operationssummit.com, and we're a proud media partner of that event. In May, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence is coming here to Atlanta to host their 2019 Lean Summit. Great speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all dialed in on the world of manufacturing.
That's in Atlanta? That'll be a great event.
It's in Atlanta, and we're serving as a media partner, and we're broadcasting live the evening of the first day.
Okay, super.
So neat event there. You can learn more at ame.org. And then EFT, which Ben touched on, I think we've all touched on at some point during the day, warm-up or during the live podcast. We are proud media partners of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. We have a home run lineup of speakers from Land O'Lakes, UPS, Uber Freight, Cisco, you name it. We're broadcasting live, which we recently confirmed, and we're being sponsored by Becker Logistics,
We're
excited about. Jim Becker was a previous guest, and we're glad to be partnering with them as we broadcast live over the 2 days, June 11th and the 12th in particular. You can check out EFT.com for more details or, of course, send us a note to supplychainnowradio.com, and we'll get you more information in whatever links you're after. Okay, so big thanks to our guest today. Again, Abir Thakarta, Vice President, Supply Chain with Haverty's. Abir, thanks not only for joining us, but thanks for hosting.
You're welcome, guys.
Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the kind of who's the Paul Harvey? Now you know the rest of the story. And really, living today, we kind of understood now what some of the secrets behind the Haverty success. So thanks for taking time to share.
And just quick, that article comes out today. We talked about
yesterday.
Yeah. It was live yesterday. Yeah.
And where can we get it again?
It's on Forbes.com.
Okay.
Yep. And we'll include that link in the show pages. So for any listeners, we'll make sure you have easy access to that. Thank you, Abir. And again, to our co-host, Ben Harris with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, thanks so much. Part of the Supply Chain City gang.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Good to see you again, just on the heels of last Friday at Flexport, which is a really neat episode as well with Flexport and Higher Dynamics. Good to see you again. And Chris Barnes, Executive Director and President of Apex Atlanta, and he wore about 17 hats during the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, including the toughest hat, which is chair of the judges panel. Good to see you again,
you
Chris.
Just stay off the radar. That's all you do.
So be sure to check out our upcoming events, replays of our interviews, and other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us again on iTunes, SoundCloud, all of the leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.